fascination with royalty, specifically British royalty. And you may remember that when my wife Ruthie was here preaching at the end of November, she mentioned that. She also noted the fact of how many different series are on Netflix. There was great press around Charles and Diana years ago. And then there's press around the courtship of and marriage of William and Kate and Harry and Meghan. And just look at the attention that Harry and Meghan have gotten in the last several weeks as they said they want to leave the royal family. Now, the interesting thing for me is that 244 years ago, we revolted, we rebelled against King George. We didn't like taxation without representation. And I think that's interesting because as we take a look at Jesus' prayer, Jesus does something in this prayer that we were taught never, ever to do. Especially if we were invited to someone's home for dinner. We don't talk about politics or religion, right? Jesus speaks both about politics and religion in this prayer. He mentions, in the context of prayer, the kingdom. Now, was Jesus looking to get himself into trouble? I don't know. But this morning, we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer for this season of Lent, in a series entitled, I Pray, Praying as Jesus Taught. And we'll consider the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. It's only three words. Your kingdom come. Those three words communicate a great deal. And so I'd invite you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Follow along in your Bibles or follow along on the screen as I read Matthew 6, 5 through 15. Listen to God's word. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts, that they together would be acceptable in your sight. For you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. Lord, help us to consider these words that we pray. Help us not to take them lightly, but to dive into the depths of what they mean for us even today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so what is the kingdom? Jesus spoke about it. Jesus taught about it often. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus would say, To what should I compare the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is near. Did you know that the kingdom is mentioned 147 times in the New Testament? Seems to be an emphasis on the kingdom. In the Gospels, it's 113 times. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it's 53 times. This concept of the kingdom was not unknown in Jesus' day. In fact, there was a common Jewish prayer that went like this: May he establish his kingdom during your life and during your days. See, when we think about kingdom, we think about royal families. But the kingdom about which Jesus speaks and teaches is a bit different from what we might expect or what we might assume. The kingdom is a realm, but it's not about political boundaries. Yes, there is a king and there are subjects, and the subjects are made royal because of their relationship with the king. The king reigns in absolute sovereignty over nature and history. And the king reigns in the hearts and the lives of those who acknowledge him and seek to serve them. The kingdom is also already, but not yet. It's already in that it's been ushered in or inaugurated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the kingdom is not yet in that we have not yet experienced it completely, because we live each day in our lives in the brokenness of sin, the lack of justice, the absence of God's peace in our lives, and estrangement in our relationships. One of the first theologians or doctors of the church was someone named Augustine. You've probably heard of him. He lived from AD 354 through 430. And he noted about this prayer that your kingdom come is not to be thought of as if God were not reigning now. On the contrary, he says, God has reigned and God is reigning and God will reign. The prayer is for God's reign to be made clear to all humanity, those who love and serve God, as well as those who don't. The prayer is for God's kingdom to come. Just this week, I was reminded of this reality as I opened our refrigerator door to get some milk for my cereal. You see, Ruthie, my wife, put a prayer request on the refrigerator door from one of our youngest daughter's friends. Anna had been a roommate with this young woman, Nan, when she was in college. Nan has joined us on vacation as a family for the last 10 years or more. And we love Nan. And it's been fun to watch Nan grow in her faith. And over the last couple summers, Nan has served with a ministry called Casas por Cristo, which means houses for Christ. And she just accepted an assignment to serve with Casas por Cristo in the Dominican Republic. So she sent us her prayer card, and on that card she writes these words: May we always be looking for how God is moving and working. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your kingdom come. Isn't it interesting that I just happened to see those words on the refrigerator this week? I love how I see Jesus working in Nan's life. I love to see the passion that she has for the Lord and for the Lord's kingdom to be established. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your kingdom come. We pray for the kingdom to grow. In this petition of the Lord's Prayer, we want God's kingdom to grow. We want it to grow now. It's interesting, in the Shorter Catechism, the question is asked, what do we pray for in this second petition? And the answer? In the second petition, which is, Thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, that ourselves and others be brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. Fascinating words. We pray for sin and evil to be destroyed. We pray for the evil one to be destroyed. But at the same time, we pray for the advance of the kingdom. What does that look like? What does the advance of the kingdom of God look like? It depends. God's going to do what God's going to do. It could look like a congregation being grateful and out of gratitude giving money to the work in Liberia for clean water, safe water, and fresh water during Lent. It could look like the high school students going to West Virginia this summer to make home safe and dry, and to love the next person they see. It could look like children at Vacation Bible School learning about the strong foundation they have in Jesus Christ and longing for that to be a reality in the lives of other children, and so they give. It could look like college students encountering the power of Jesus Christ in their lives. I have a friend from my college days, which were a few years ago. I'm not going to tell you how long. But this person has worked with college students in a ministry since we've been in college. And she wrote a letter recently and shared the impact of Jesus' power and Jesus' kingdom in the lives of two students. The first one was named Stephen. Stephen was enslaved to an addiction of pornography. His whole demeanor, the way he interacted with people, the way he carried himself, just the way he was, communicated that he was miserable. His friends prayed for him. And after a great deal of prayer, he invited Jesus Christ into his life to come and to fill the emptiness that he was experiencing. My friend said that within seconds, there was a smile on his face as the power of God's kingdom was breaking in to this young man's life. And then she told the story about Yvonne. Yvonne was an international student who was a self-described skeptic. She did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. She was warmly welcomed by some students where she went to school at William Patterson College. Little did she know that those students were part of a Christian fellowship group at that school. Yvonne went to camp with them, and she didn't go to camp to learn anything about Jesus. That was clear. She went to camp to be on a work crew so some of her friends wouldn't have to pay so much registration fees. And while she was there, she was swept away by the love of God. And 2 weeks after she left that camp, she asked Jesus Christ into her life. In both cases, the kingdom of God was advancing through prayer. And so we pray. We pray that God's kingdom will grow. And it grows through people like you and people like me. People like us who are open to God's reign in our lives, open to submitting our lives to Jesus Christ as the Lord of all. Because people are watching. And people are longing for something they don't even know exists. And yet God makes that relationship known through people like you and me. And so we pray, Your kingdom come, Lord. Your kingdom come. We pray for God's kingdom to be consummated. That is, we pray for the return of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ would take his power and rule this world. Now, building the kingdom is not our work, it's God's work. And building the kingdom is what God has been doing for millennia. If you look back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 12, we see the call of Abram. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Why will they be a blessing? That others on the earth would come to know who God is. We see in Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. And then fascinating in the prophet Daniel. Daniel records the words of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was not someone who worshipped God, at least initially. Nebuchadnezzar said of God, his dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And then in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15, we read words about the kingdom. In fact, I bet that you know what those words are, because those words were put to music by George Frederick Handel in what we know as the Messiah and words in the Hallelujah Chorus. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. You can just hear the orchestra, can't you? And that's about God's kingdom. Only God can bring the kingdom. We have two responsibilities. The first is to pray. And the second is to wait. We cannot make God's kingdom happen. I remember years ago, when I was in Sunday school, we were given a book that we needed to read for part of the Sunday school class. It was entitled, The Bible Speaks to You. You remember reading that, don't you, Frank? I thought that book was during my time, but I guess not. So, love you, buddy. One thing that's interesting in that book, it talked about the kingdom of God. And Robert McAfee Brown, who wrote the book, was trying to help people realize that we as men and women don't bring in the kingdom. God does. And there was a hymn that was used that people sang a lot when I was growing up. It was entitled, Rise Up, O Men of God. Now that's been changed to Rise Up, O Church of God, Rise Up, O Saints of God. But what Robert Brown was trying to help people understand was, we don't bring in the kingdom. So he wrote new lyrics for it. I'll share those with you. Sit down, O saints of God. His kingdom he will bring. Just as and when and where he will. You cannot do a thing. Fascinating. We can't build the kingdom because our best efforts are compromised by the sin in our lives. It is God who brings the kingdom. But we don't idly sit by. We pray for the kingdom to come. And as we do, we make ourselves available to God. We actively show God's grace. We speak words of love and forgiveness. We clothe the naked. We visit the sick. We visit those in prison. We proclaim God's grace, and we wait for God to bring the kingdom in its fullness. And as we wait, we gain a glimpse of that kingdom breaking into lives like Stephen and Yvonne. And who knows what God's going to do during VBS this summer, and how God wants to break into the lives of our children and their teachers and our congregation. With the kingdom. We gain a glimpse of the kingdom breaking in as we partner with other ministries, as we wait and we watch. And as we watch, we see God building a kingdom from people of every tribe, every nation, and every language. There are no political borders to God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is advancing. We watch. We pray. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your kingdom come. The kingdom is coming. We cannot hinder its arrival, and we cannot hasten its arrival. But we can be a part of it. We can pray. We can watch. And we can say to God, do what you want in me and through me. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your kingdom come.